Okay, Revelation 12. Okay, Revelation 11, 12, 13 are the probably the main chapters in Revelation. So we'll go through them slowly. Revelation 12 is a fight between a woman and a red dragon. Red dragon's called a Satan. Okay, so that's the contest in chapter 12. Okay, Michael gets in there also, but the fight is between the woman and the red dragon. Okay, and then Michael is directly in the fight, but the red dragon's trying to kill the woman. And who is the woman? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you give us insight into your words. I pray that you'd help us to desire the truth of your words. I pray that you'd help us to be honest when we come through the Bible, that we may or may not know what's going on. And I do pray that you'd give us insight and understanding so we might know. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 7 or 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Okay, who am that? Well, if you ask the all-wise Pope in the Vatican, he would tell you that's Mary. Okay, that's his private interpretation, that this woman is Mary. I have as much evidence that the woman is Hillary Clinton. Okay, so whatever name you want to throw in there, we each got an opinion. Who's the woman? Okay, and so, like I mentioned this morning, you may not know who it is, but we can certainly find out who it's not. So let's give the wise Pope and company a benefit of the doubt and see if it's possible that this could be Mary. Okay, so verse 1. In verse 2 we read, verse 2 we could say, oh, she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Okay, yeah, Mary had it gave birth to a child. Not only a child, but she gave birth to at least 7 children. Okay, and but this one is going to be a particular one. Verse 5 is the next time this woman is mentioned. Well, at the end of verse 4, whatever this dragon wants to eat her child at the end of verse 4. Say, well, they're going to tell you that child is Jesus. Okay, verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child. Okay, it's a boy. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So far, yeah, you can see why they possibly think it's Mary, and possibly the man-child being Jesus. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God. Okay, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, now we're getting more precise here. After Mary gave birth to Jesus, she did go down into Egypt, did she not? Remember reading that, but she didn't go down to the wilderness, this wilderness per se, but she did go down to Egypt. How long did she go down to Egypt? When did they come back? When Herod was wanting to kill the boys, how old were the boys that he was going to kill? 2 years. So maximum 2 years she went. You got to go with the max. Okay, so maximum they went down to Egypt was 2 years. Probably wasn't that long. Most likely it wasn't that long. So Herod kind of figured out, okay, but this is 3.5 years. So we're starting to get problems with the idea. Again, you may not know what's right, but if you run it, analyze what's being spoken, you can figure out what's wrong just by looking at what is said. Okay, and so we do have a problem, okay, with verse 6. Verse 7, okay, Michael and the dragon fight. Verse 8, they fight again. Verse 9, they're still fighting. Verse 10, Verse 10, 9 and 10 are the twofold ministry of Satan, if you call it that. Verse 11 is how you beat him. Verse 12, nothing in there is going to help us out. Verse 13 is the next thing. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Okay. Did Mary suffer persecution? Well, probably so. By the red dragon directly. Well, there's no record of that. And the woman, verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Okay, down into the wilderness. Usually the wilderness is referring down to the where they wandered in the wilderness, which would be modern Saudi Arabia. Okay, there's no record of that for Mary. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with a flood. Okay, so again, if you take the words as they're said, you got a great big red dragon, bigger than, you know, the Sears Tower or some huge thing. And she is trying to run away from the dragon, so he takes water out of the Jordan River, and he's going to spew it out at this woman and try to stop her from getting anywhere. Okay, the idea of getting it out of the Jordan River, you got to go back into Job. Okay, but still the idea there. And verse 16, and a woman helped the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Again, if it means exactly what it's saying, there's no record of that with Mary either. Verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, again, if you just, again, approach the Bible in this matter, if somebody says something, okay, look at it, give them the benefit of the doubt, and then read it, and just look at them and say, how do you come up with that idea? It was, you know, pretty bizarre. And besides, isn't Revelation 12 dealing with the future or the past? It's dealing with the future, is it not? So we got a lot of problems. I'll show you another one that's just as goofy. Try Ezekiel 37. In case a couple young fellas knock on your door, claim to be old people, with a name tag that says they're elders, when they can't be more than 22 years old. If you get in a conversation with them, they might tell you in Ezekiel 37, verse 15. And of course, if you get the reference Bible, this will be in a footnote, which will make it authoritative. Ezekiel 37:15. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel as companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And the little Mormon elder will close his Bible, and he will say, the first stick is reference to the Bible, the King James Bible. The second stick is a reference to the Book of Mormon. So now today we see that the two sticks are joined together. That's why you can read the Old and New Testament, the King James Bible, as it's translated correctly. Of course, we'll tell you when it's not. And then add the other testament, so we have three testaments coming from the beloved Joseph Smith. Okay, that's their interpretation of the two sticks. Well, I think the two sticks, you know, is something else. You know, Laurel and Hardy, I don't know who it is. I've got as much authority as they got. And if you read down the two sticks, it's really difficult. One is Judah and the other is Israel, and it's going to become a nation someday again. But you see, that would be too simple. Okay, if you read down, that's what the two sticks are. Again, this is how people use the Bible to make it teach what they want. Okay, now let's try to go back to Revelation 12 and see if we can. Well, it's not Mary. Yes, there are some similarities, but the differences definitely pointed out that it is clearly not Mary. The last occurrence of Mary in the Bible is in Acts chapter 1. Fine lady as she was, the problem is the Catholic Church exalts her so much, and so often a Christian will overreact and beat her down into the ground just to make sure that you don't think she's goddess. No, she was blessed among women. Okay, I like what that one, a lady came up to Jesus, said, "Blessed is thy, you know, mother," or something like that. "Blessed upon, you know," and bragged about his mother. And then all he said, "Yea, that's true, but, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it." So he didn't smack his mother down in order to make sure they got the attention. Okay, I think a great tract, you know, to give to Catholics, the probably the best one of chick tracts is "Why is Mary crying?" I like giving that one out. Especially if you go into a Catholic area, put on a backwards collar. You don't have to say anything to them. Let them think what they want. I tell you, they receive tracts pretty freely when you got the collar on backwards. And they say, "Thank you, Father." And I just say, "Well, I am a father." You know, when he's over in South Bend area, I wore that one time. Boy, people received the tract. "Why is Mary crying?" They think it's a wonderful tract about the Mother Mary. And then they read about it. And wouldn't she be the best? I think it'd be good to, you know, have up here, you know, this one up on 41. And they do have a pastor's invitation in August. It'd kind of be fun to go, you know, where you can walk the road with Jesus, bound down to these statues. It's non-denominational. I appreciate that great promise. Okay, but it's clearly not Mary. Okay, let's go back and see if we can come up with anything. And the way you figure it out in the Bible, yes, Revelation does write with symbolism because it's writing about the future. John is writing about 2,000 years in advance, trying to use the words he knows back in those days. And so the best way to come up with a valid answer or interpretation of the Bible is you go scripture with scripture, see if you can find something else in the Bible. So we'll see, and then when you do think you have the conclusion of it or the proper thing, go back and read the text and see if it matches or it can match the text. Verse 1, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." So you got sun, moon, and stars are associated with this woman. So the first clue is right off the bat. Sun, moon, 12 stars. Now, is there any place in the Bible you can recall that a sun, moon, and stars are mentioned? Okay? And some of you are saying yes, and some of you are looking at your cheat sheet that you probably got in the margins. You know, in the Lazy Man's Reference Bible. It's right in front of you. Okay. Okay, so the one place that I know of is in Genesis 37. Okay, so you go back to Genesis 37, look at it. And this is Joseph when he has that dream. So he has an interpretation of the dream, and the interpretation of his dream is mentioned in chapter 37, verse 9 and 10. Okay, and his dad, who is Jacob, is given an answer or actually a rebuke to his son, the dreamer. Okay, and verse 37, "He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars." Now, any of us can figure, oh, that's not the same. 11 and 12. made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth, to the earth? So if you parallel that in verse 9, the sun and the moon, I and thy mother, so he would be the sun, the moon would be Mrs., and thy brethren, 11 stars. Revelation talked about 12. 11 stars, and if you add Joseph, that would give us the 12. Okay, now sometimes, you know, when you get into the numbers, you can kind of shift things. We were goofing around one time where, you know, God does deal with numbers. Okay, and does anybody remember the identification number for Adolf Hitler? 555. So the next world leader would be 666. Okay, and so, but yet, sometimes you can be shifty on these numbers. You know, well, it's 18, that's 3 sixes. Well, yeah, 12 is, you know, 3 fours, so what? You know, you can get real, and I realize God does deal with numbers, and I realize that the devil deals with numbers too. And sometimes these numbers are, you know, the devil, like Groundhog Day. What's a big deal about Groundhog Day? You know, to us it don't mean anything, but Masons it means something. The 33rd day of the year, where a being comes out and searches for light. Is that not a catchphrase of the Masons? Can I get a square deal here? Oh, are you a traveling companion? Yes, what are you traveling for? I'm seeking the light. You know, if you go to a Mason store, maybe you get a better discount because they think you're one of them. And you, there's something about numbers. But again, you can get carried away. Remember a few years ago, there was a book came out. It was a Bible code book where this guy put the Hebrew Bible. And if you come down and cross-stick over here and you come across this way, if you connect the dots, you know, you can have when Adolf Hitler's born. You know, some people are too busy looking for the codes where they've forgotten the words. Forget the code. Go right to the words. But yet, God does deal with numbers. So here we have a case where we have sun, moon, 12 stars. What does that eventually develop into? Jacob and his 12 boys. Jacob's name was changed to Israel and his 12 boys. So would it not be logical, would not be a good guess or a good scriptural guess to say, is that woman in Revelation 12 the nation of Israel? Okay, it doesn't say Israel. You say, why doesn't God say Israel there? Because he don't want to put Israel there. He wants you and I to study. But can I be dogmatic on it? Well, possibly so. If so, let's go back to Revelation 12. Now, if we plug in the nation of Israel in there, let's see if it matches. Okay, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. The sun is portrayed as Jesus Christ in the Bible. The moon is a portrayal of the church. But I don't know if you can throw that in there. The stars, a portrayal of angels. Okay, but even at that. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Israel is giving forth a son. Okay, we'll skip 3 and 4 for now. But at the end of verse 4, this dragon wants to devour her son, her child. Okay, and is it not, I mean, look at the anti-Semitism throughout history. Has not the nation of Israel suffered, you know, quite a bit through the nation of Israel? You say, well, they're deserving of it. Yeah, probably so. Especially when they said on Calvary, on that day of Calvary, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, okay. And then 2,000 years of what they've gone through. Okay, and so, verse 5, she brought forth a man-child. Now, that man-child's hard to figure out, get it really nailed down. I have a bunch of cross-references there. You can run them, try to figure it out. Might help you. All you do is you type in man-child in your computer program on the phrase and then run those throughout the Bible. That's it. It's nothing difficult about this. No trade secrets. It's just right there. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That clearly is what Jesus Christ will do. The Bible prophesied about that on many occasions. Her child was caught up unto God. That's true, but is this talking about this child still in the future, or is this child back with Jesus Christ? Again, it's kind of tough to figure out. And to his throne. Well, who's going to sit on a throne in a millennium? The Lord Jesus Christ, but who also? David. So is this a prophecy of David coming back? I don't know. Jeremiah's coming back? I don't know. Are the prophet, are the apostles coming back? Again, I don't know, but they could be. Okay, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Israel did that in the Old Testament, and Israel is going to do that again in the tribulation, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years, feed her how? Just like he did in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 17 with manna. He said he's going to do it again in Micah. Do I have it there? Micah 7:14. Letter M. Yep, Micah 7:14. Okay, that's where he said he's going to feed him again in that wilderness. So that still, if this is Israel, everything is matching, as they say. It's coming through, everything's doing fine. Okay, verse 7, Michael, the war, verse 8, verse 9, the devil, verse 10, the devil again, verse 11, how to beat the devil. Okay, verse 12, again, something about the devil. Verse 13, pick it up again, because we're looking, trying to figure out the woman again. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, Satan kicked out of the first heaven, prince of the power of the air, to earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Okay, so he is persecuting Israel. That, hey, nothing new about that. Okay, the man-child, I was just thinking, what is that a reference to one of the two witnesses, or both witnesses, who knows. The woman, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. And, you know, Americans with the Western mindset, when they see the word eagle, what do they think? I always think America. Here we come. You know, all that stuff. Eagle is also, didn't Hitler have that? Okay, and so you just try not to look at the Bible from a Western viewpoint. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Again, this wilderness, it says into her place. What place? After reading through the Old Testament, what is the place that the Old Testament usually mentions? Petra. Okay, Petra. Selah Petra. That's in the wilderness. Okay, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. A time is that 1 year, times 2 years, half a time, half a year. It's very logical. It does go with it. Why does God write like that? As he wishes. So they're hiding from the face of the serpent. Where? In the wilderness. How many get down there? Who knows? It's a remnant. How they fed? By manna. Why can't the devil get them down there? Because God is protecting them, but yet as he flights over in the shadow of death, throw out nuclear radiation, you know, where they're hiding in the mountains. Matthew 24, he told them, flee into the mountains. See, so far, if you throw Israel with the woman, everything seems to match and go with other scriptures in the Bible. Verse 15, and a serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now we're getting in our Twilight Zone, King Kong, Godzilla type stuff. You know, the Japanese movies where the lips never match the mouths. Okay, and again, we're dealing with these kind of things, and this stuff is where we're really getting weird in the Bible. And of course, nowadays with Hollywood, Hollywood is not hiding these things anymore. They're coming right out and putting it right on the screen about aliens coming into people and eating people and surviving by eating people and drinking blood. This is not being hidden anymore. They are gearing people up, getting them to look up to giants who are going to be mighty men of renown, who are going to be the heroes of the world. And, oh, so what if they want to eat a few people here and there? Just so they don't nibble on me. Okay, because this is what they're all getting. It's all, Hollywood cannot stay away from this Bible. Okay, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So, evidently, these people, or a few people from Israel, trying to run to get down to the wilderness to try to hide in Petra, but as they're running down there, Edomites or the Muslims are ratting on them, so the troops come and get them. You find that in Obadiah. And then as they're running down there, some great big ugly monster is going to take water out of the Jordan River, and he's going to try to spew the water out on them so that they can not get down there. Okay, where's the idea from the water out of the Jordan River, the flood? It's Job 37, I do think. Job 40, verse 23, about Behemoth. Okay, Job is remember, Job is a type of a Jew in the tribulation. He gets persecuted by Satan directly. He's got 42 chapters in his book, matching 42 months. Job is mentioned by James in James chapter 5, verse 10-11, about the patience of Job. James is written to the Jews, the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are in the last days, James chapter 5, verse 3. So everything fits like a hand in glove. I tell you, when you get this writing, dividing this book just comes so alive. Okay, in Job 40, I think it is, 40, verse 15, there's that monster, Behemoth. Okay, there's that monster. He's right next to Leviathan, Job 41. Okay, anybody who's been in the church for a while knows who Leviathan is. Okay, run it. You only got four verses to look at. Leviathan is, 34, the king of the children of pride. Leviathan is the natural state of Satan. Okay, Isaiah 27:1 be the best one. If you back up, you have this Behemoth, this giant, this dinosaur type, this reptilian type creature, who is able, in verse 23, behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. This thing is so big that it can suck the water out of the Jordan River and then spew that out at the Jews as they're trying to run to get down to Petra. Okay, so that's weird stuff. Revelation is not difficult to teach. It's hard to believe. But to try to teach these things, what I've just told you already, 30 years ago, in any church in America, they would have looked for a straitjacket to throw me in a funny farm. But now, today, we're seeing it on a TV screen. That's not being hid today. See how fast we're moving? Moving fast toward this. So it's getting weird. Verse 16 of Revelation 12. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So the water is coming at him, but the earth opens up and it goes down in the heart of the earth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, so if Israel is the woman, everything matches perfectly. The problem is, who or what is the man-child? And the light I have on that's about 10 watt. Okay? The man-child, you say, is Jesus Christ. Yes, it does look like Jesus Christ, but if Revelation is future, then, I don't know, you have to go some other route with that. You say, well, Jesus is going to rule the world. Yes, he is. But David is also going to be a prince ruling the world. And for born-again believers who have been faithful to Jesus Christ and serves him, do not they get a part to rule the world with Jesus Christ? If we read those verses correctly about the judgment seat, yes, that's true. So everything seems to match, and then a person say, well, nations are female, feminine. Yeah, you have cities referred to as a feminine. That's why the towns on the outside of the cities, what are they usually referred to? It's the suburbs or the outskirts of the city. Jerusalem is referred to as in the feminine. So nations often referred to in feminine. Okay, so if Israel is the woman, let's go back and see who's trying to kill her. Okay, verse 3. This red dragon, okay? And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, I don't have this in the margin. There's a common saying that I skipped, didn't know about. You remember the common saying, think of 10 horns. What's a common saying that goes with somebody leading somebody with 10 horns? How about a 10-horned dictator? Anybody ever hear that common saying? Anybody ever hear that one? Nobody's heard that one? A 10-horned dictator? Okay, it's not real common then. Okay, but a 10-horned dictator, that's who this is going to be, the red dragon running the world. Okay, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads. Okay, and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Weird thing. Okay, now Mike Pearl on the back thing back there is trying to draw it. 7-headed thing. Okay, and so this would be Leviathan. Leviathan has many heads. Psalms 74:14. What does he do? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Stars are angels. How do we know that? Chapter 1, verse 20 says it. The stars are angels. Go to Los Angeles, the city of the angels, you find some real ding-a-lings for stars. Okay, so you got those stars. Now, this tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, are these, often people say that Satan took one third of the stars, they fell with him, one third of the angels fell with him. Okay, and then God has two thirds. This is where the one third idea comes from, but yet this one third is future still. This is still dealing with the future because we're dealing with the hereafter in chapter 4 and following. So is that saying that there are angels today that one-third of the ones left today are going with Satan? Well, you could say that, but all it says here is he did cast them to the earth. He booted them out. Okay, so you got that. And isn't that going to be a wild scene? One-third of the angels now walking on the earth? That's why Hebrews 13 says, be careful to entertain strangers unawares, because some have entertained angels. You see, you talk about having apparitions and visions and all this stuff. Wait till that tribulation shows up. Man, they are going to be everywhere. Now, a lot of these prophecy movies, the Left Behind series, you know, Thief in the Night, you know, they tried a lot of this stuff, you know, try to portray it. I don't really think you can show how bad it's going to be. I mean, if a Mel Gibson can do what he did with The Passion of Christ, what do you think that guy could do if he actually read the book of Revelation, read what it said, and then used his talents in Hollywood to portray Revelation? You know, and put the Pope in there as Revelation 17, 18, they would have a riot. Okay? They don't want to show that stuff. Okay, so his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which is ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay, now we got the history of when Jesus was born and what Herod did. He's a type of the Antichrist and all that stuff. But this is still looking in the future. Okay, the man-child, it's, again, it's kind of hard to figure it out. Is the man-child dealing corporately with 144,000? Don't know. Verse 7 is the next time we got the dragon. And there was war in heaven. Okay, so we got Star Wars. Battle of Star Wars, you know, the Battlestar of Galactica. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Michael shows up three times in the Bible. Once in Daniel, once in Jude, and once here. All three times he's whopping on somebody's head. He's beating somebody. He's evidently the strong angel. Gabriel shows up three times in the Bible, and he's given somebody wisdom. Once in Daniel, and once in Luke. Or twice in Luke, I think. Okay, but he's given somebody wisdom. The two main attributes of angels is strength and wisdom. Okay, so is Gabriel the archangel over the wise angels? Is Michael the archangel over the strong angels? You know, I don't know if you can pin it down, but still that. There it is. And then some would put Satan as the third archangel, but he was never an angel. He's a cherub. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So, who won the battle? Well, the ones that got kicked out lost. So Satan loses. And his angels lose. So where do they go? They get kicked out to earth. Verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now here they are walking on earth. Now, can Satan come down on earth today? Yes. Can Satan go up to the third heaven today? Yes. His main sphere of influence today is the prince of the power of the air, what is known in the Bible as the first heaven, what we know it as the atmosphere. It's prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. In the tribulation, his main sphere of influence will be on the earth itself, where he will be walking on the earth looking to devour someone. He's looking to eat somebody. Okay, and so this is why when people really get demonic, they get into the cannibalism things, into the blood stuff. And they get infatuated with the blood because that's what Satan's infatuated with. He is a you know, wanting to kill. He is a murderer from the beginning and a liar, a father of all lies. And so that's his thing, just like any dog or cat wanting to kill its prey. So he was on earth, and that's where if you run to 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So 1 Peter primarily is aimed at tribulation passage, aimed at Gentiles, because it starts off with strangers. 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, Revelation, all primarily dealing with the tribulation time period, but yet we can all read it and still get some things out of it. Okay, the two main goals of Satan, verse 9, deceiving people. Deceiving people is his first step on his work. If he loses that one, meaning a person receives Jesus Christ, the new birth. If he lost that one, his next step is verse 10, he accuses. That's his two main things. What does he accuse? He will accuse God to you, tell you God is a hoax, he's a lying, he doesn't love you, he doesn't care you, the Bible's not true. He accuses God to you, and then he accuses you to God. Where he goes to the throne of God and say, you know, that child of yours, you know, you need to whop them. You need to take them out. I mean, they're just really messing around. They are bad testimony to you, and it would just be good you take them out. You know, let them have it. They deserve it. Okay, accusing. Now, the accusation one, he doesn't have to do that too much because Christians are very good at that. The way Christians are, Dan Bardwell wrote me a letter about things going on in Ukraine, and it's spread over here, and you know, these people running emails back and forth, making phone calls. And I just wrote Dan, I said, Dan, welcome to the fleshly part of the ministry. I said, there it is, you got it right in front of you. You're trying to go to Ukraine, trying to do work for God, and here Christians over here running their mouth, trying to ruin your work in Ukraine. You know, thank you very much. There it is, right in front of you. What do you do about it? Stay innocent with God, and if man wants to think you're guilty, let him think it. Who cares what they say? No man can destroy your work. No woman can destroy your work. The one that can destroy your work is you. And if God allows it to be destroyed, that's his business. God is the one allowing that to take place. And so all we are to be is servants of Jesus Christ. And if God wants the work to go forward, then you and I should jump on the bandwagon. If God wants the work to go down, then you and I should jump off the bandwagon. Just being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And just being faithful to the Lord. Let the brethren talk. Let them run their mouth. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You will not give an account to any other Christian. I give an account to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the one I'm concerned about as far as what's going on. Let the brethren will crucify you. Okay? It's just the way it is. And so we just can't fret about those things. God is in control. And if you want to serve God and you want to be a blessing to Him, then you be a blessing to Him. And if that's not a blessing to others, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. The Lord will take care of those things. Okay, so there's two things. Verse 9, notice it says He deceives the whole world. Deceives the whole world in verse 9. How can he do that? You see, one of the arguments, if you get talking to a Catholic, they'll tell you, our church can't be wrong. Look how many we have. You mean to tell me all of them are deceived? And I just look at them and say, how many got in the ark with Noah? You can't go by numbers. You see, numbers doesn't verify or discredit anything. You see, and so here Satan can deceive the whole world, verse 9. And then verse 10, he's the accuser. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. And the power of, notice the wording, His Christ. So what is the best way for Satan to deceive the whole world in verse 9? Be a fake Christ. Be a counterfeit. Be a counterfeit Christ, and he is so good at it, you know who will promote the Antichrist? You know who will be the biggest promoter of the Antichrist? Religious people. Professing Christians will be the biggest promoter and will get Christians to fall in line. And in fact, when it went down to New Orleans and troops went through New Orleans after Katrina and went house to house to take the guns away from the people, you know who encouraged their people to give up their guns? Their pastors. Their pastors did. You see, and so this is how it's going to be. The Bible prophesies these things, and we just need to understand this. People like Rick Warren, he's going to have Obama and McCain in church on the same Sunday. You know, it's ding-a-lings like that will be the biggest promoters of the Antichrist. I remember reading an article about some people talking about the mark of the beast, and they were talking about this chip. And this one pastor commented about the chip. He said, he's an NIV guy, he said, I'm not worried about the chip being associated with the mark of the beast, because the Bible says the mark of the beast is on their forehead. The NIV does say the chip is on their forehead, but the King James Bible says the mark of the beast is in their forehead. It's the only one that says it's in. I'm not saying the chip's the mark of the beast, but the King James Bible is the only one that says it's in, all the rest say it's on. In other words, this guy, with his church full of people that's got nose rings and earrings and all this stuff, it wouldn't bother him at all to pop it right in. You see? And that's why they are deceived. And many will be deceived, according to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. And so that's why we are all susceptible to these things. Okay, so his two main aspects of his work, Satan's work, is deception and accusation. Deception, accusation. Okay, then verse 11 is how we win. And then we got more to go there. So it's already 5. We'll stop there and let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful and adamant and diligent and prudent students of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.